confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world.
And you know what? I feel really bad because I forgot to hit upload for the new theme song, opening song for the show. So I dropped the ball big time. I want to welcome everybody to Sunday Night Fight Lives. Sponsored by Persist Headwear, I'm Skippy, the man behind the scene. But this show is hosted by Ray Lopez. This is his baby. How you doing, Ray? I can't believe I did that.
It's all good, Skippy. It's all good. Live radio, anything else would be uncivilized, bro. It's all good.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way because I was like, "Are you got to be joking me, man. Really?" I just looked over and I saw it sitting there and I was like, "Ah, I'm such a schmuck."
We'll definitely get it next week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. actually, in about 30 seconds, it'll be done, so we'll play it just for you, because I made it special for you, man.
I'm looking forward to it.
As soon as it's done loading, man. Hey, by the way, I want to tell all the great fans out there, thank you for all the love from last week's show. Ray, you killed it. The fans are just eating it up. You're going to be on the – well, if you were this weekend, Ray, and all weekend, the best of Madhouse clips. The first two segments last week, which were Bite Me Mouth Guards and Tony from Sparstar, they both made the best of clip in Tampa for the AM sports stations down there. So congratulations, man. Your first show, you knock it out of the park like that and get two segments on there. So that was really cool.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you. And, you know, thanks for everyone who listened. Thank you to Tony and to Joe over at Bite Me. I mean, great interviews. I mean, we could have went on talking forever. It was just like friends just sitting down, you know, just talking over a beer.
And that's exactly what we're trying to do with your show is get fans maybe a real look at what is going on with fighters, promoters, sponsors, gear companies, you know, but for a look at it from, you know, friends kind of point of view, like you said, sitting around having a beer, your show's not about a suit and tie. Here's preset questions. Here's preset answers. This is like, hey, let's flow. Let's see how it rocks, you know, and we'll give the guy some, you know, some freedom and, you know, maybe it turns into a great interview. Maybe it's kind of boring, but I love the fact that you're willing to, you know, sit down and kick back like that. And here you go, brother.
Who gives it up and who be rocking all that rough stuff? All in the cut is young dads with the pimp struck. You struck game on those who act lame. See, ain't a damn thing changed. You know I ride the neighborhood slow. Blocks on you and let the wind blow. True indeed, I'm having the ball. Pick up the phone and get my homies a call. What's up with y'all? Living in the city where we born and born. Roll up for Philly, we pack it tight. What a pity, what a sight. And handle something more, damn, I got what I need.
How's that?
Oh,
that gonna work for you?
That's perfect. That was over here sea walking. You should see me.
That's what I'm talking about, buddy. You know.
Yep.
So how's your week been?
It's been real good, real good. You know, a lot of stuff going on with my guys and in SoCal MMA. You know, a lot of things going on in MMA. Period. I mean, getting all those fights last night. I mean, early stoppage and you know DC just tearing Cummings up. And, you know, then we had Pedro Munhoz make his UFC debut. No, it was
fight of the night. He should have won fight of the night, period.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good fight. I mean, Pedro took his fight on 10 days' notice. Same thing that Cummings did. You know, these guys stepped up, and even though they came up short, I mean, who else is going to take a fight in 10 days' notice?
First of all, he proved that he deserves to be in that organization at that weight class 10 days, and he stood toe-to-toe and had a great fight, man. I mean, I'll be honest, we had it 1-1 going into round three, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was number four fighter in his weight class, and Pedro just scored up.
On 10-day notice, man, I could not imagine if he got a full camp how much, you know, better he would look.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, and you need that time to prepare for that opponent. You know, he just took it, and basically you're looking at he had 3 days of hardcore training.
Yeah, I mean, and that's it. Like, you know, my question, you know, when he got the call, I more than anything, is I want to know how far off he was on weight. Because let's say his walking weight, and he's a smarter fighter, and he keeps it, you know, 8 to 12 pounds from where he's going to fight. Maybe not so bad of a cut on him, maybe not so bad of a drainage on his body that close to, you know, without conditioning and all that close to the fight. But what if he was 22 pounds off and he had to cut 22, 30 pounds maybe, you know, in that 10 days and try to get in, I guess a small camp?
Well, you know, he had just fought 3 weeks ago, so he wasn't out of shape. You know, he was already ready to go.
Oh, well, then, I honestly did not know that. That makes a big difference on, you know, probably why he was able to perform so well, because he was just coming out of camp and a fight.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's it's a big thing, because he was still in fight shape.
And yeah.
When he got the call, it wasn't a question of, you know, are you ready? It was a question of how much.
Yep, that's very true. I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of fans out there felt like some fights were stopped late, some fights were stopped early. I personally don't think that was the best card we've seen in a long time. I mean, the fights, to me, there was a couple that were really good. I felt like the Can fight ruined it with Cormier. And I'll be honest, folks, you guys know me, I was heartbroken about Sarah McMahon getting dropped from a liver shot. I did not see that coming. So, I don't know. I ended up flipping over to Thai fights from Thailand.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, I mean, everybody's over here talking bad about Herb. Herb is one of the best refs in the business. You know, I know Herb personally. He trains over here at Fight Academy with Savant Young. If he thought it needed to be stopped, he's going to stop it. You know, we've done fights where Herb is a ref, and we've never had an issue with him. So, I mean,
it's funny you say that, because, you know, I agree. Herb Dean actually runs Rough China, the company I told you about in China, that the only legal MMA in mainland China. He is their go-to referee for every event. He holds seminars over there to teach referees in that country. And if we would have gone in there and said, you know, Herb, you didn't stop this fight soon enough and you let this fight go too long, you know, that's armchair quarterbacking, okay? He's reffed thousands and thousands of fights. And something I hear fans always bitch about, they're pros, let them fight. Well, then don't bitch if you think the referee's letting the fight go too long, because you guys are always saying they're pros, let them fight. Look,
exactly.
Andy's different. We're not talking Amy. We're talking pros here, you know. And if a pro fighter, you know, it looks like he's in a bad position and a referee truly feels that the fight is done, he's going to stop it. But we always say give the fighter a chance, don't we? I mean, everybody, it seems like 85, 90% of the fans, media, everybody says, you got to let fighters fight. You got to let fighters fight. Well, when Herb does, he gets crucified.
Oh, definitely. And you look at, okay, you know, the people who are saying this, how many of them have taken a hard liver shot?
And you know what? A good friend of mine, local guy here, fought Shoney Carter years ago for the WEC title, JT Taylor. He's a black belt, runs a school here. He fought Eddie Ellis last year at a local organization. Okay, this guy's honestly, folks, one of the baddest boys. I mean, I love him. He's a tough guy. He has the oldest, longest-running MMA organization in Oregon. You know, I mean, guy's a great dude. Tough guy. Eddie hit him with a liver shot, fight was over, dude. And he told me afterwards, he said, dude, Skip, my body seized up. He goes, for a good 5 seconds, I didn't even know where I was.
I mean, exactly. You know, like you said, armchair quarterback, it happens a lot in this business. And, you know, people need to realize it takes a lot to step in the cage. And the damage that they take isn't anything that they take in any normal sport, even boxing, because there's things that happen in MMA that don't happen in boxing.
I agree. Well, we're about 5 minutes out from getting our first guest. And, folks, we're going to have Miss Heather Hyatt to start the night. And I'm looking super forward to that. She's a phenomenal young lady from Epic Fighting.
Definitely. We got a stacked show tonight. Got Heather Hyatt coming on first. From Epic Fighting. She's actually matchmaking for a couple other organizations within the Camel boundaries. Also, too, she's taking her jump into managing professional fighters. And then we got Jonathan Santa Maria coming up after her. He's a pro fighter making his pro debut. He's got a great story to tell. He's training out of Rain Training Center with Mark Munoz over there. Also, too, after that, we got Mal Valenzuela coming on. He's also the matchmaker for SparStar. We had Tony Padilla on last week, the promoter for SparStar. So Mal's going to come on and talk about SparStar. He also matchmakes for OC Fight Club. And the new TV show coming out tonight, Combate America, is on Mundos.
Oh, I know. We shared that everywhere. I pumped that on Rear Naked Smoke, one of our sponsors. We've pumped it everywhere. I mean, we've made sure the guys in Norway, everybody around the world has shared. I love it. I can't wait to talk about that, too.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to watch it.
You right?
It's coming on right after our show, so, I mean, it's a perfect timing.
Oh, yeah, you couldn't beat that. It's for all the fans out there, this show is going to slowly progress and get bigger and better and better, and tonight we're going to try a new, adding one more tool to the mixture of great radio. Our phone lines are 310-742-1799, or above the player on the actual Blog Talk page, you'll see a Skype button. You can also feel free to tweet, Facebook, whatever, any questions, comments, messages to fans, guests on the show. On Sunday Night Fights Live Facebook page, we have the phone number listed up there in the comments. So, tonight we're going to start from this point on having the lines open for all you fans. And as Ray gets more and more comfortable, we'll be doing way more and more stuff.
Definitely.
Oh, well, you know what? We got about 2 minutes before we grab her. What we could do is, let's talk about that giveaway real quick so everybody kind of knows what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan's going to be giving away a free month to train at the Rain Training Center. You know, that's where he's training. That's where Cummings is training at. Fought last night with UFC. Mark Munoz's gym. Who else trains there? The Ultimate Fighter winner, Tony DeCuque Ferguson, trains there. Christoph Shosinski. I mean, you got a lot of UFC guys training there, and I don't know if you've ever seen it, Skippy, but this place is—it's heaven for anybody who wants to train. You know, Mark Sanchez works out there in the off season. You walk in, and he's got his MMA room with the bags and the cage. Then the next room is a football field, artificial turf. These guys can—these football players that train in the off season can train there. Then you go to the next room, and it's this huge weight room. The place is awesome.
Sounds like it. No, but I'm a big fan of Christoph. Always have been. So if he's training there, I give my two thumbs up because I love that guy. He's just a bruiser, man.
Definitely. I mean, he's the man.
Well, let me jump in queue. I'm going to grab our first guest. And you go ahead and why don't you give everybody a little breakdown. I'll be right back.
First guest, we have Heather Hyatt. She's a great matchmaker. She was actually nominated for Matchmaker of the Year here in California. She works for a couple different organizations. All her fights are awesome. She's great at it. We fought for her once before. She put together a good fight for us. And I'm excited to have her on. And like I said, she's probably the best looking matchmaker too in the business. And we're trying to get her on the line right now. She works with Roy Engelbrecht, with Epic, and also too, she did the matchmaking for Boss Wooten's new promotion. In a male-dominated sport, you know, having a woman doing as good as she's doing is great. So I can't wait to hear her her side of things.
Well, why don't you go ahead and bring that young lady on?
Hey, Heather, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're great. Glad to have
Always.
You on.
Now, for you know, what we'll do is, since this is the first time you've been on this show on the Madhouse Networks, on any show, we have a lot of fans around the world who listen, especially overseas. We have a huge fan base. And to give the fans kind of a little bit insight to you, why don't you tell them who you are, job title, and maybe what got you into the sport?
Okay, I'm Heather Hyatt. I'm the matchmaker for Epic Fighting down in San Diego. I'm also the matchmaker for Archangel Worldwide in Riverside and Boss Rutan's Art of MMA in Thousand Oaks. I guess basically, I've always been into the sports. I mean, grew up watching wrestling. I'm from Alabama, so wrestling is our lot, you know, is livelihood there. So kind of grew up watching that, and I've always followed the sport, not super, you know, close, but it's always been something I was interested in. A couple years ago, got in with Epic Fighting and started out wasn't matchmaking, wasn't what I was planning on doing for them, but thankfully Jason Stewart, who's the owner of Epic, kind of took my hand and showed me the way, and been making fight cards ever since.
Nice. So how long have you been doing MMA?
About 2 years now I've been matchmaking, so...
So how did you, you know, you said you got in with Epic in the beginning, you weren't matchmaking. So how did you actually get into MMA?
It's just something I've always followed. Not really anything like, I mean, I've never trained myself. I'm actually planning on starting to take some jiu-jitsu, but I don't want to get hit in the face. So it's just something I watch. I mean, I've always watched the UFC. I've always watched, you know, different, getting into, you know, following different types, all the different aspects of it. So getting into matchmaking was something, you know, it was new to me. I worked in healthcare prior to this, so it definitely wasn't something that I was ever planning on doing. But thankfully, I'm actually pretty good at it.
So you're very good at it.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny that you say that, you know, you're training, but you don't want to get in the face. That's what I tell people, too. I train, too, but I don't fight because I'm too pretty to get hit in the face.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Heather, I gotta tell you this. So we have a vegan bakery in town, and a place I love to go eat a lot. And there's a cute little, like, 20-something, you know, younger girl. I'm not good with ages, but I know she's young 20s. And she's, you know, knows about the MMA world. She trains a little bit in kickboxing. So the other day, I'm like, well, why haven't you ever taken a fight? And you might want to use this line. She goes, because you don't take a Lamborghini off-roading.
Absolutely. That's perfect. I mean, I was given a hard time in the beginning because everyone's like, well, if you've never stepped in the cage, how do you know what to do? But, I take it very seriously when I match a fight card. I build profiles on every single fighter that I use. So, you know, I know their height. I know their weight. I know their reach. I know their training. So, for me, it's, you know, I take it seriously. I want these guys to get in there. I mean, that's why I love amateur fighting. The guys can get in there. I want them to make sure that these guys get in there. And win or lose, they come out and they love what they did so much that they can't wait to get back in the cage again.
You know, we fought for you before. And when you guys did the fight at the San Diego Fairgrounds.
Right.
You know, we had Rick Rojo out there, and I was really impressed with the way you ran things. And just being a male-dominated sport, have you came into any people who didn't want to deal with you because you're a woman? I mean, like I said, me personally, I was pleasantly surprised on how well everything ran the way you were doing it, because I mean, this was the first time I dealt with you. There's other matchmakers who are men who don't have their stuff together like you do. I mean, is there any obstacles that you came into being a woman in the sport?
You know, it's always going to, it's in the beginning, especially nobody, you know, they didn't know. I mean, when I started out with Epic as a ring girl, so it definitely wasn't, you know, something they were like, oh, how does it, she go from being a ring girl to being a matchmaker? But I take it very seriously, you know, I'm being a woman probably makes me a little bit more organized. You know, I make sure everything's done. The guys like it. I kind of mother them a little bit. You know, I'm a mom myself, so kind of, you know, make sure that everything's taken care of. I want to make sure that everyone has their paperwork done and to make things easy on them. But I haven't really had too much. I think I took a couple cards for people to finally understand, like, oh, I'm not just some dumb girl who doesn't know what she's doing. You know, that I take it seriously, and then I make sure that the fighters are well matched, and that's, you know, that speaks for itself. Doesn't matter who, you know, that I'm a girl, you know, as long as I'm doing my job, then it's going to speak volumes for me.
Oh, it does, and you know, I was shocked that you didn't get Matchmaker of the Year with the Kelly Fight Awards.
Me too.
Yeah, we made the
trip up there. I was super disappointed. I was hoping they'd give me, like, a crown or something.
Actually, they gave away a glass, a cup, basically, what they gave away. But, I mean, it was a nice little thing, you know. The award ceremony was really good. A lot of networking went on.
I would have loved to go up, but we had a show the same day, so there was no way for me to make it. I can't abandon my fighters.
Yeah, definitely. You got to be there for the fighters.
Hey, Heather, I want to ask you a question, and I've talked to a lot of matchmakers around the world, and I really like your opinion as somebody who has kind of maybe a fresher, different look than maybe the old guard of matchmaking. What's your opinion on losses? Are there good losses on a fighter's record?
You know, I think every time they step in the cage, win or lose, it's gonna build their, you know, especially as the amateurs, it's just building their career and learning more. So, I mean, nobody wants to lose, obviously, but as long as you got in there and you learned something from it, then yeah, I can say that would be a good loss.
As a matchmaker, when you look at a guy's record, are you looking at those losses and how they lost or who they, you know, and the way they lost or, you know, that kind of mind frame?
Absolutely. You know, if I did my job properly, this is basically when I'm looking at my cards. I mean, if I do a fight card that has, you know, 15 fights on it, which, you know, most of our epic ones do, I feel like they should, you know, a good majority of them should go to a decision. I know the guys don't like to leave it in the hands of the judges, and I understand that. But for me as a matchmaker, I feel like, especially in this, you know, as amateurs, if it goes the complete distance, then that means I matched those guys so well that they were, you know, they were vibing off each other. And when, you know, it's win or lose, I mean, someone's got to win, someone's got to lose, but at least they went in there and I matched them so well that they were like the spitting image of each other. So, I want it to be challenging for them, but I also want it to, you know, for them to be able to grow. As an amateur, you want them to be able to, you know, I want them to all be able to go pro. So I don't want them to lose to the point where they're injured and can't go on.
Definitely. Fair. I mean, you know, that always makes for a good fight to match everybody up equally. You know, and it's sad that there's a lot of matchmakers out there who don't do that. They do a lot of sandbagging. And that's something that I've never encountered with Epic, you know. I mean, you want to put on those good fights so people keep coming back.
You know, right.
You know, putting butts in the seats, that's everybody's job. You know, from the promoter to the matchmaker to the fighter. You know, what things do you guys have coming up? I know you guys have something coming up in March, right?
I have March 28th is the next fight card down in San Diego. It's the 4-point Sheraton on Arrow Drive. And then Bob Druten will be doing another show as well soon. Archangel will be doing another show. I think those are both going to be in May. And then, of course, we have the I'm Matched for Roy Englebright when he does his San Diego Fair show. And then hopefully, I can't say too much right now, but I got a call just yesterday, and it looks like I'm going to be matching for another show soon that's going to be out in this area. But it's a pretty well-known organization. But we'll get the final on that next week, and hopefully I'll be able to announce that next week.
So all these shows you're matchmaking for, are they all Camel shows?
Yes.
Good. Yeah, Camel runs a pretty good ship there.
I like dealing with Camel. I know there's a lot of people that give them a hard time and, you know, come in, and especially if you don't know how to deal with them. Camel is great for the fighters. It's just creating a safe environment for amateur guys to get in there and do what they love. And
in a safe place.
And that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember before Camel, when we used to do Smokers, and we show up to a fight and we do the matchmaking right there in the office. And, you know, one fight I'd be a referee, the other fight I'd be cornering my guy, and the next fight I'd be a judge. And it was crazy, you know. And not with Camel, it makes everything a lot safer for the fighters.
That, and it takes all of that out of our hands as you know, as a promotion. It's not us doing the judging. It's not us, you know, as the referees. So it's a whole other, you know, entity in there so that they can do all that. So when things go wrong and, you know, everybody makes mistakes, there was a couple on our last card where, you know, the fighters are mad, but they can't be mad at me, you know, then they can go to Camel. But it's my job to go back to Camel when something like that happens, an early stoppage or those kind of things, to fight for the fighters. You know, I get in there and I give them the video and I show them this was not right. And they're pretty fair about those kind of things, too.
Would you guys, and look, because I'm not from California. I understand Camel. I follow them, their website, religiously to keep up to date with fighters and stuff and events. But would you say that Camel is the progression to today from Pancration Rules?
I stumped everybody with that one.
The old Pancration was A, B, and C classes, you know, teaching fighters to progress in the amateur rankings. And now you have Camo, who has come in and tried to unify one set of rules to slowly let these guys progress and learn and make sure they want to do this as a career. You know, and so many of us old school guys wish we still had more regulation under one set of rules for everybody in a state to follow to help these kids learn, because some of these guys never want to go pro, but they want to be able to fight in a safe environment and they want to be able to hone their skills. But, you know, some of these guys, and let's be honest, the girls too, they have career choices that don't involve fighting. So would you say today's Camel is like the safest, best opportunity going right now in anywhere? Because obviously we have messed up organizations and defunct sanctioning bodies everywhere, but would you say that that's the mold today, like Pancration was back 10 years ago?
I would think it is. JT and, you know, and them do a great job at making sure, you know, that, like I said, that's what they're there for. They want to make sure that the fighters can go on, those ones that do want to go on and go pro, that they can do that, and they're doing it in a safe environment that, you know, and I definitely feel like that's the way all the organizations should be run. It's, you know, the insurance is there. It's all there just to protect them. We all know that this is a hard, tough sport. You know, so many come out injured and that they can't fight again. So if you can prevent some of those injuries by having, you know, a sanctioning body there that's going to look out for their best interest, I think that's important.
Definitely. And now I see that you're starting to make the move into managing fighters. How does that come about?
You know, it's so weird. I get it all the time because, you know, because of what I do, I make so many contacts. So a lot of fighters will, you know, hit me up, hey, Heather, can you get me a fight? Can you get me a fight? And at first they didn't really get too much into it. And then, you know, it just happened, it's just a natural progression for me. I kind of think it's what I should be doing next. I mean, I don't deal with the pros a whole lot. I want to, and I definitely want to be able to keep learning. So dealing with the few pros that I have. You know, I started, I have two right now, two pro fighters. Both are fighting on Bama's card on March 28th. And it's just about, you know, learning that whole other side of it. You know, all I deal with is the matchmaking. So I kind of like to learn and, you know, keep myself growing and keep myself learning more.
So your two fighters that are fighting on Bama, who are they and where can people go for tickets?
We've got Joel Lott. He's fighting Mario Delgado. It's a debut fight at 170. These two, it's going to be a great fight for both of them. They've kind of created their own little, you know, it's all about marketing. And in this, we all know you have to be a marketable person when you go pro. People are going to either love you or hate you. And these two have created such a backstory with the two of them with, you know, this, they kind of have a hate-hate relationship at this point. They're both going to go in there to try to kill each other.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a good fight. I'm kind of excited about it. So that'll be the first one. And then I also have Scott Steele, who trains with Terry Sokaju down there at Team Quest in Encinitas, Cardiff by the Sea. His opponent isn't verified yet. We're still working on it. He's a 255-er. He's an absolute beast. Just your solid 255-er. I'm excited to see where he goes. I think he's extremely marketable as a fighter. I think he's, you know, not going to He's gonna be doing some big things, I'm pretty sure, you know, especially with Terry Sokaju being his coach. You know, Terry's obviously pushing him. But obviously, the tickets are available at BamaUSA.com, and that shows on March 28th.
Yeah, we'll be there. I have one of my guys fighting, actually, the main event, Terrion Ware, fighting for the Bama strap.
Oh, yes, yes. I love Terrion.
So, you know, we'll definitely see you guys there. And, you know, Brett Roberts always puts on a great show. Bama is probably the premier local pro show out there right now.
I definitely think so. I completely agree. When, you know, if you're going to go pro, you want to, you know, it's safer to, it's a sanctioned show as well. Not to say anything, you know, negative about the shows that are unsanctioned, but I think it's just a safer bet for these, you know, fighters to be able to go on and showcase their talent. And, you know, the ones that want to go to the big show, it's a better place for them to do it at.
Oh, definitely. I mean, Alabama, they do get the bigger shows out there in the audience checking these guys out. And, you know, it's a who's who of MMA. And like I said, Brett Roberts was a great show. JR, his assistant, is always on point. I've never had a problem with Bama. Great guys. They actually take care of their fighters, promote their fighters very well.
Now, I'd like to ask you something, Heather, again, talking about being able to sell yourself and how important that is. As a matchmaker, are you taking that into consideration, their social media presence today with the amateurs?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as far as, like, I'm on my Facebook constantly. Every time I have a show coming up, that's where I find so many of my fighters. I mean, obviously, Camo has that cute, you know, that great little database for me. But there's guys that, you know, don't know how to get onto Camo. So it's, you know, the social media, I can go out there and I can let everybody know what shows are coming on. And, you know, I find so many fighters that way that, you know, that find me just through my social media, except for Twitter. Sorry, I don't have a Twitter.
Now, maybe,
I think I'm the only person in America that doesn't have a Twitter, but I didn't.
Maybe explain to amateur fighters right now listening around the world how important it is to have a social media presence because you're obviously looking at fighters at every class, every talent level, and that's obviously, you just said, it can be a deciding, you know, factor in picking fighters. So can you maybe explain to them why you find that important for you and your company?
Well, I mean, I think it's important because those are the people that, you know, your social media is going to be your place that you can, you know, put your sponsors on there, put the shows that you're going to be, you know, the upcoming shows on there. You know, it gives you a place where people can see what you're doing. So obviously, like, especially as an amateur fighter, you know, those guys don't get paid to fight. So they need sponsors. So making sure that your Facebook or your, you know, Instagram is throwing out there what you're doing and supporting those who support you. So that's super important.
Definitely. Like I said, you know, What is your biggest challenge right now as stepping into the manager side of it?
You know, I haven't really had any, it hasn't been difficult. I mean, thankfully for me, I have done this a while. I've made some great connections. The fight scene down here is amazing. You know, I've got other matchmakers that I work with on, you know, I talk to them all the time. If I have a problem, you know, getting a fight match, I can call Mel or I can call J-Tan or, you know, from U of MMA and some of these other guys. We all work so well together because we're all in for the same thing. We all want MMA to be the best it can be. We don't want it to, you know, to, we want people to have a good opinion of it. It's not just some, you know, old, you know, in the basement, back alley kind of fighting anymore. And, I mean, not to say that those weren't great fights, but, you know, we wanted to make sure it's safe. So, you know, it's nice to have that community with, you know, the rest of the matchmakers and stuff. They really haven't had any issues.
I know exactly what you're talking about. There's other managers that I can go to if I'm looking for a fight and I can't find a fight and vice versa. Or, you know, we'll talk about different organizations, if they're good to fight for or not. So, I mean, you know, that's a good thing about SoCal MMA. Everybody just wants the sport to get better. There's nobody like, oh, no, I can't tell you my secrets.
We're all trying to grow it together, which is amazing.
Exactly.
And there's so many fighters here. There's so much talent. I mean, being most of me, obviously, most of my shows so far have just been in San Diego, and there's so much talent in San Diego. It's the fight scene is great down there. But now that I'm doing shows out in Riverside and in Thousand Oaks and dealing with Boss Rutan's gym, and so I've got out, you know, been able to reach out to so many other places, and there's so much talent here.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So, Heather, is there anyone that you want to shout out, you know, anyone that helps you along or anybody you're currently working with, and also, too, you know, let us know, again, about the fights you have coming up and where they can go for tickets.
Well, obviously, Epic Fighting is my home. That's my family. I wouldn't be here, have anything that I have without them. So Jason Stewart and, you know, all the guys at Epic Fighting are amazing. You can buy tickets to our next show, which is March 28th, epicfighting.com. Obviously, our camo card is, you can look on camo anytime. It's www.camomma.org. And you can look at our fight card. We've got some great fights coming up on that one. I have a 155 title, a 170 title, 185 title, and 4 girl fights on this card. So it's going to be a great one.
Well, that sounds really good. And also, too, for Bama, where do they need to go for tickets for your fighters?
Bama, you can either message them directly for Joel Lott or Scott Steele. Or they'll have tickets. Joel Lott trains at Dan Henderson's gym in Temecula, so he'll have tickets there. Scott has his tickets with him. Or you can just go to Bama USA and buy tickets through the website.
Cool. Is there anyone that you want to shout out right now?
Oh, well, I just want to thank you guys. You know, I thought it was pretty cool that somebody actually wanted to talk to me. So thank you guys more than anything.
Oh, you're welcome. No. It was a pleasure having you on.
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree, you know, somebody that, you know, for the last 2 years, you know, we've really at Madhouse have been following what you've been doing with your organization, your matchmaking, and like I told you earlier, you know, I can't believe we haven't had you on before, young lady. I mean, what you're doing is great, and I want to thank you as not only media, but as a fan of the sport for what you do.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate that. I mean, definitely it wasn't something I ever thought I'd be doing, but I love it. I love every single minute of it. I love dealing with the fighters. I love what I do. So all I want to do is grow and, you know, help the sport grow itself. So thank you.
Okay, well, thank you for coming on. And, you know, we're always here. You know, definitely we'll have you on again. So, you know, let us know when you have something big coming up, and we'll have you on then or anytime. Basically, you're always welcome.
Well, thanks. Awesome. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Well, Ray, you nailed it. Another great guest that you have booked for this show, but we've got our next one ready, so why don't you bring him on in?
We got Jonathan Santa Maria coming on out of Team Rain, making his pro debut coming up real soon. Hey, Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm doing great, brother. How's it going?
Going great.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to be on, man.
We're excited to have you.
Let me be the first to welcome you into Sunday Night Fights live as a guest and not a contest winner. And also for all the fans around the world that listen to this show, why don't you tell them who you are, you know, and a little bit about your background, maybe throw in your nickname, you know, what got you into the sport. Give us a little bit of who you are and up to today.
Yeah, man, you know, I'll give you the story since I have a bit of time. My name is John Santamaria. I'm 29 years old. I fight out of Team Reign, but that's kind of a unique story. About 7 years ago, I was hit by a diesel truck on my Harley. I was a wrestler prior to that. I did karate, boxing, and when I got hit, I was damaged, man. I was done. So I was out of the MMA game, and I couldn't kind of stay away, so I opened up my own camp called Destiny MMA. I did that for about 3 years, long story short, and maybe about 2 years back, I just felt like I needed to be back in the MMA world. Those of you guys that compete, you guys probably feel the same way. You can't, once you leave, you feel like you can't be away from it. You guys know what I mean with that, when I say that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yep. So, you know, I closed my gym down, long story short, and after teaching some great students, you know, I have actually some of my students here listening in, and, you know, I closed it down, and I really focused down on becoming an athlete again, a great fighter. I rehabbed, I trained, and I went to some great camps really quick, 10th Planet, Legends, you know, Wild Card to get my skills back. And I said, hey, man, I still have it, I think. I feel great. You know, I'm down in weight. I want to compete at that level. You know, I did amateur fighting, smokers, and I just never got to that pro level. And I felt I belonged there. I trained with some great guys, and you know, this year I really pushed. I drive 70 miles to Reign up and back. You know, it's a camp that fits me. That's always what you need, is something that fits you. And that camp fits me. Mark Munoz and all those guys, Roger Shippen, they helped me out big time, you know. So it's been a blessing to come back. And now in March 22nd, Explode Fight Series, I am making my debut. I am ready. I'm 125 pounds strong, karate mixed martial artist, ready to go, man.
Good, good. You know, you talked about that you used to coach, and firsthand, I know what a great coach you are. You know, I've gotten some fighters from your camp, you know, Andre Camarena, Randy Romero, who we both cornered a while back, also to Richie Placencia, who's also a great coach in his own right. You know, these guys
definitely
are great guys, and you know, they're definitely extensions of you. And, you know, I love having them around, and I love when you can come down and help me corner them. That's awesome. I love working with you. And also, too, you did a production for us a while back with Terry on Ware's short video. I think it was great. When are you going to get back behind the camera on that?
Yeah, you know what? Production is something I really like. And you know what? Terry on, it's funny you say that. I didn't even know Terry on that good, but this guy, man, besides talking about me, this guy fights every other month, man. He was just on, someone I liked a lot. And when I was doing production, you want to help people that are kind of like you. I see myself similar towards Terry on, where I'm going to fight as much as I can. People can say, hey, you know, this guy was hit by a truck and this guy's a bad knee. No, that's actually my good knee. Like, I kick harder with that leg. But, you know, Terry on, you know, that was cool. When I'm done fighting, and I don't see that happening for a long time because I have some great coaches right now, some great training partners, you know, I will definitely open up again. But for now, you know, it's dedication to fighting. I'm full on 100% in.
Definitely. And, you know, and you said you're 29 years old. I mean, you got a long career ahead of you, even though you look like you're 14.
Yeah, man, that's the Filipino-Mexican in me, man. I kind of have that young look, you know?
Okay, Johnny, we know you got the hookups with the clubs. Where's the after party for your fight?
Oh, man, you know, I actually have a great sponsor. It's Sage in Uptown Whittier, man. The guy Albert, he hooks me up all the time. I'm not so much of a partier lately, you know, because I'm staying so focused. So what I'm going to do, actually, we're actually not going to after party this fight. We have a party bus taking all my fans, my family, my friends, students of mine. They're going to go to the fight on a party bus. When you roll to a party bus to a fight, that just shows, you know, it's a whole group of people that just support you. It's really cool. So that'll be our party, but I don't want to party till after I get a title and show that I'm really here for real. You know what I mean?
Well, definitely, definitely. And I mean, and that time's going to come really quick. You know, like you said, you want to stay busy. You got an awesome team out there in Rain. You got an awesome support system with all the fans that you have. And this pro debut is a long time coming. So who's your opponent?
I got this guy, Johnny Marquez. He's 1-2, fights out of San Fernando. It's funny, man. You know, he looks more of a grappler, but I'm actually taller than him. I don't know too many people. If you guys know me out there, I'm a short dude, and this guy is 5'3", so I'm excited. I am so excited to be standing toe-to-toe and actually looking a little taller. You know, it's going to be cool for once.
Cool. how do you see the fight going? I mean, you say he looks like a grappler, so you guys can take it to the ground. You're going to keep it standing. You see you submitting him. You see a knockout. You see it going the distance.
You know what? He is a grappler, you know, and the funny thing is I love to grapple too, man. And one of the big things at Rain is, you know, it's not necessarily jiu-jitsu. You know, we are ground fighters on top. I'm top heavy. I'm a wrestler. I want to pound you, you know. So if it goes to the ground, it's because I want it to go to the ground. It's because I want But what I see happening is me controlling the pace. My conditioning is ridiculous. I pride myself in working so hard on my conditioning with, you know, the training lab that supports me for it, and my feet work with the karate style. I don't necessarily see this individual in particular being able to keep up with that style of fighting. He's going to get some good hits, and I like to trade, so I'm excited to stand there toe-to-toe, throw and trade, and let's see who can take the most hits and come out with a victory.
Nice. So, I mean, how long have you actually been training? I mean, you know, we're talking like, did you take any martial arts when you were younger, wrestling in high school, anything like that?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny, man. I am actually, you said a lot of things with my camp and my students from before. I am very traditional. I took Taekwondo, Shotokan Karate. You know, I wanted more after that, of course, but I based a lot of my martial arts on martial arts, being a great athlete, respect, honor. All those words have meaning to me. But after, you know, the point system of karate and Taekwondo, I actually wanted more. You know, so I got into boxing, Santa Fe Springs Boxing Gym, the wild card, the Muay Thai kickboxing, and I love combat. I mean, anyone who's an athlete in this sport, they have to love it. You get hit every day. You got to kind of like it, and I love it, you know.
Well,
but,
definitely.
Yeah, particularly right now, though, man, since we're talking just about the spots right now, I just kind of want to give out a shout-out real quick early. You know, one of the guys who really – it's hard to find a karate camp that pushes you to MMA. A lot of traditional karate schools, they don't push you towards that. And before I go into my current trainer, I would like to give a shout-out to Duarte Shotokan Karate, Master Joseph. This guy, man, he spent, I'm going to say, countless hours at night going over feet work with me to transition my karate to MMA. So, Joseph, if you're listening out there, man, I just want to say thank you for your help, brother.
Nice, nice. You know, talking about who will help you along the way, I mean I got to talk about your Kettle Corn sponsor. That Kettle Corn is off the hook, bro.
Oh, man. You know what's funny is we're having this event here. All my students are coming in to pick up tickets and posters, and we have, I mean, about 60 bags of Kettle Corn here, man. I'm going to send you some, man, because you tore it up at Terrion's event.
Oh, yeah. I had about 8 bags myself, bro. Yeah, you got to send me a couple.
No doubt. You know what, Kiddo's Kettle Corn, man? It's cool. At this level, at this pro level, you definitely need sponsors. You know, I worked full-time as a medic, and I would train, you know, wherever I could. If I was working a 12-hour shift, I was working crazy 12-hour shift. I would go running while on duty. I'd get, like, a 911 call. I'd have to jump in the ambulance, change, go back, do what I had to do, you know what I mean? Then after that, go train at night. I was so tired. So, you know, it's sponsors right now, since I'm part-time, they actually help me pay for, you know, eating healthy, my private trainers, helping me with gas, because, you know, I drive 70 miles a day. So Kettle Corn is a great company that helps me out financially and backs me, you know, supportively with everything. So thanks to them, man.
Nice, nice. So how are you doing balancing work, MMA training, and a family life?
Yeah, you know, the family life is, that's probably the hardest part. You know, if there was interviews on fighters and stuff, man, they should interview the kids, the wives, the parents and all that stuff, because that's the hard fight, man. You know, you're trying to – you have to be selfish as a fighter. If you're not selfish as a fighter and focus on your opponent and focus on your training, you're going to lose and you're going to get hurt. You know, my wife and my kids, they honestly understand that dad needs to train right now. Dad needs to focus. This is something – He can't do his whole life, and they support me, man. I go to training 2 hours here, 2 hours there, do my conditioning, and, you know, I balance it because whenever there is free time, I spend it with them, man. And, you know, we do it right. We go get pho as long as I stay underweight. You know, but we'll go eat. We'll go hang out. You got to make sure you make time for them. And, you know, after these couple fights, I'll spend more time. But at this time, you have to be selfish, and I'm blessed that they support me, man.
That's definitely good. I mean, like myself speaking, before MMA, I was involved in coaching arena football. So, you know, my kids got used to traveling around, staying in hotels, and, you know, dad had to go to work, you know, late nights coaching. So my kids grew up in the sport, in pro sports. So, you know, making the jump to MMA, it wasn't really a big difference for them. You know, it's just like, right, you know, dad's gone because he's got to go to a sport. So, I mean, it's very important to have the kids on board and let them know what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Oh, definitely, man. You know, it's pretty cute, and I'll say it on the air. My daughter, she's learning how to write right now. She's 5 years old. She gets it down pretty good, but she wrote me a Valentine's card, man. It said, "I know you fight, Dad, but I love you. And I know you train, but I love you. Happy Valentine's Day."
That's
the cutest
awesome
thing in the world, man. Cutest thing in the world, you know?
That's awesome. Now, you know, you got little ones. Are they going to be coming to your fights? Are you going to allow them to watch you fight?
I'm old school on that. They will not be there. Just because if I get hurt for any reason, you just never know. You know, you can't say I'm going to knock this guy out easy, done. I'm not like that. You know, I know it's a fight and anything can happen. So I wouldn't want my kids to see that, you know, and I'm going to definitely kiss them goodbye, you know, give them big hugs. And, you know, I'm going to fight my heart out for this family, for myself. This fight is for, you know, for all of us, you know, so, but they won't be there. They'll be at the mother-in-law's.
let me jump in real quick, Ray. We got a fan question from back east. Do you still teach explosion drills, and what does that consist of?
Explosion training, man. I can teach it, but I like getting it done with me, explosion training. What that is usually when you use weight, that's the weight system. You know, you're pulling weight, you're doing something, let's say a deadlift, okay? For an athlete that's using MMA, when you deadlift, you're going to do a rep of a deadlift, and then after you deadlift, you do some type of explosion. For instance, if you are going to take someone down on the cage, you're pulling, you're trying to grab them down the cage, and you need some type of explosion at the end. So everything, all of my training that I do currently right now, if I'm lifting weight, when I do explosion training, I'm lifting, and right after that, I do some type of explosion, whether I do 6 deadlifts, and I'll sprint right after that, or 6 deadlifts, and I'm jumping up in the air to get explosion. You know what I mean?
Nice. Okay, Johnny, you got a giveaway to give away. Let us know what you're giving away and what the question of the day is.
Yeah, man, this is for all the fans out there, the students, anyone who, like, followed me before, man. If you guys know what my first camp was called and the street name it was on, I'm going to give out, me and Team Rain, Mark Munoz, all of us over there at Rain, we're going to give you a 1 month unlimited access to Rain Training Center. Unlimited, as many things as you want. All you have to do is call in, name my camp, name the street name is on, Google if you have to, and you're going to get that. This is for the fans that, I know it's far, Rain Training Center is far, but if you're a true fan and you always wanted to be there, meet some of the pros, I'm going to give you a shot to go take that opportunity.
Bam. Now,
there it is.
For all the fans out there, 310-742-1799 is the call-in. You can Skype in, or you can go to Sunday Night Fight Live's Facebook page and post your answer. The first person to get it right is going to win. It doesn't matter if it takes an hour or it takes a day. Somebody's going to answer this question because he just gave everything. He already mentioned the name of the gym in the conversation. So anybody listening to the replay because they didn't catch this live, you know, you can also answer or still try to answer, just so you guys know. I'm going to let you guys continue talking because we still got about 16 minutes with Jonathan, and I'm going to start checking some of these phone lines and see what's up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Johnny, you want to answer some questions from fans?
Yeah, let's do it. We got some fans out there. That's cool.
Yeah, let me see. We're going to shoot this in the dark because, you know, I don't know who they are or if they're trying to win or just talk, so let's find out.
Yeah,
hey, 909, you're live. Hello?
Hello.
909, you're live.
Yeah, this is Alfredo.
Yeah, are you calling in to answer the question or to talk to the guest?
I'm here to answer the question. I think I can know the answer.
Oh. Okay, well, you're here with Mr. Jonathan. Jonathan, why don't you repeat the question one more time and then let him give you the answer, see if he's a winner.
This is actually cool, man. This is one of my students. So, Fedor, what was our camp's name and what was the street name it was on?
It was Destiny MMA on 10th Street.
Dang, that's it, Fedor.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Dude, congratulations for winning tonight's package. Obviously, this is not only a fan, a fighter. This is anybody's dream to be able to go hang out in the gym for a day, let alone a month. Congratulations, brother. I'm going to make sure, obviously, they know how to, get all your information. So do I need to worry about that, Jonathan, or you got it all?
No, I got him. Hey, just while we're on the air, this is cool, man. This is actually my first student ever, my first heavyweight fighter that just called in right now. So this is really cool.
Oh, well then,
somebody's in this on the background. You got to turn the volume down on the computer.
Hey, Fedor, if you're listening to out there, you gotta move outside or something, wherever you're at.
Okay, give me a second.
Are you still fighting or training at heavyweight?
You know what? I'm not training no more. I don't train no more guys right now because, like I said, I got to be kind of selfish with my time. But, if I'm going to open up a camp again one day, and it was cool. This guy was awesome, man. It's pretty funny seeing, they call me Mr. Miyagi because I'm about 5'5", and Fedor is about – how tall are you, Fedor?
About 6'5".
Yeah, you know, it's 6'5", so I'm doing hand mitts with a 6'5" guy. We're warming up for a fight and, in Reno, and people are looking at us like, is that Mr. Miyagi over there or what? Oh, man. But thanks for calling in, Fedor. I'll hook you up. I'll get your info down, man, and we're going to get you to meet the team, Mark Munoz and us, and come to train with us, man.
Sounds great. I appreciate the time, and good luck.
All right, Fedor. Thanks, man.
Okay. Bye, guys.
See you, bye. Goodbye. Speaking of Mark Munoz, what's up with that video he did, dude, that wrecking ball video?
Hey, man, you have to be a man to do that. That is total cool, man. I mean, when you get – it was for the MMA Awards, but when you get a guy that size to jump on a ball and swing like that, man, that just made me roll, man. I love that guy.
Well, Mark Munoz can swing whatever he wants. I don't think anybody will tell him anything.
I don't think so, man. And, talk a little bit about Mark, the reason why I chose Mark, since we have a bit of time. It's funny, man. I was there's a guy named Jose Huerta. They call him Cheddar. I think he was with you guys for a while. You know him, right, Ray?
Oh, yeah. I know Cheddar very well.
Yeah, Cheddar's a good guy, man. He actually he was going to try to get me to start training when I got really focused down. We were going to meet up and go to Black House, because I'm a karate fighter. I wanted to see if my style would work out with the Machida team maybe, and I wanted to just do it. I needed to step up to a camp that was going to be at my caliber. So pretty much I talked to Cheddar. We're going to try to do it. Things didn't fall through, and prior to this, maybe about 6 months prior to this, I had wrote countless letters to Rain asking them, can I try out? Because training with a pro team, you have to be invited only. It's invite only. You can't just walk in and, hey, I'm a pro. I want to fight. They don't let that happen. You have to bring something to the table. So the things didn't happen. It was actually on Veterans Day on a Monday. And, Cheddar, something happened with Cheddar. It didn't work out. And I had my kids with me. I had my wife. It's like 8 in the morning. And I said, I'm tired of waiting. Like, I need to do this for myself. I need to be at a camp where, I'm going to get beat up every day, and I'm going to learn, and I'm going to get better. So I actually got my kids together. I got my wife together. We're trying to throw everything in the bag. I called Rain up, and I said, hey, is Mark in? They said, no. I said, I wrote letters. I just really need a tryout, man. I'm in shape. I'm ready to go, and I just want him to see that, see what I have. And if Mark told me I didn't have anything good, I mean, I could. Part of me would be like, I don't believe you. But, you know, a big part would be like, okay, maybe I should take a step back. But you know what? She got on the phone. She said, you know what? We're closed at 10 o'clock for pro training, but if you get here before 10 o'clock, you might have a chance to talk to Mark about this. And I threw the kids. I think my son had like a diaper and one sock on. My daughter's hair was all busted up, you know. And we got in the car. I took my jeans. And then my wife's like, hey, get your gear just in case, you know. And I said, oh, yeah, just in case. I didn't think they were going to let me do anything, of course. But I get there. I talk to Riley. He's the GM there. And Mark and him get in there. And, you know, I told Mark, I said, this is something that it's meaningful to me. It's not just about fighting. You know, it's not about the TV. It's not about the cameras. I have students. I've had, you know, I've been in this, and I need to do it for myself. And I need to be at a camp that will push me and guys that will push me. I need a team, not just an MMA school. And Mark was just, you know, he was awed, and he said, you know what? Let's see what you got, man. You know, you have your gear. And I said, I got my gear. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, shit, what did I do? Oh, can I say shit? Sorry. I was like, oh, man, you know, and I just, you know, I got my gear, and I got in, and, you know, you got guys in there like Uriah Hall's walking in, Brett Cooper from Bellator is in there, and I'm just like, oh, man, what did I get myself into, you know? And I just said, you know what, it's time to step up. So Mark's like, get your stuff together. He said, you feel okay? I said, I feel good. I said, my kids are outside, my wife's outside, is that okay? He said, bring them in, man, you're here, the practice is 2 hours. So I brought the kids in, you know, he's like, I got four kids, I know how it is, you know. So I tried out, and I gave him my all that day, man, my all, and I was competing, and Mark actually brought me with this guy, Raja Shippen, who's a great fighter, and he said, can you do, you know, live drills? I said, yes, sir. We did live drilling. He said, you're okay to spar? I said, yes, sir. And he said, your knee okay? I said, that's my good knee, you know. That's a big trauma knee. That's my good one. And so we went at it, man, and I gave him my all, and I felt great in there. And the atmosphere, the knowledge I was receiving, and me just working hard. And what was so cool was Mark gave me a 3-day tryout for the fight team. And at the end of that fight, at the end of that tryout, just that one day, Mark said, hey, guys, you know, this is John Santa Maria. This is his camp if you want to. So, John, if you want to come back, this is your camp, brother. And that was from that day on, I drive 35 miles up, 35 miles back in the rain on my motorcycle, you know, to get through traffic. And it's just you're on your grind. You're really on your grind if you're going to be doing this. And that's the best place for me, you know.
Nice. So your motorcycle still, so I guess that big rig didn't scare you away from motorcycles, did it?
Yeah, you know what? I messed that big red up, though, man. I had a couple dents on it. You know, people, it was crazy. I was on a 48-hour shift, and I wanted to come home, man. And I couldn't go home, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going home. I'm not going to stay here. I'm tired, but I'm going home. And I never made it, man. I went through a red light. I fell asleep, and I got hit, and, you know, it tore my knee apart. It opened fractures in my ankle, broke both my shoulders. You know, I wasn't supposed to be fighting. My doc said, you're never fighting again, you know, and it took me a year to walk. And, you know, it's just, I see my students and I see my family and I see my friends, and I have students here with me, you know, and this is all for all of us, man. You know, it's about pride, it's about honor, it's about respect. You know, martial arts is a true, you know, combat, and I love it all, man. I'm just glad to be here, you know.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, on your recovery, what was the hardest part? You said it took you a year to walk. You know, I had a similar accident. Mine wasn't on the motorcycle, but I was hit by a drunk driver, shattered my pelvis, had a long recovery. So what was the hardest part for you?
Yeah, the hardest part for me was accepting the fact that I wouldn't be able to walk. You know, I actually had 3 resurgeries after, because every time I said, I need to go back to work, I told the doc, she said, well, you can't go back to work unless you can jump on your ankle, you know, the trauma ankle. So I tried it, and I actually broke it right there in front of her.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, you know, I was stubborn, and, you know, it was just being lazy. You have to sit there. You have to have people wash you. You know, you can't use the restroom right because you're taking medication. You know, it was, you know, eye-opener. Like, life is too short, you know, and that's kind of why I don't party. I don't do all that stuff anymore, man. It's like, it's not worth it, you know, and this part of my life is very meaningful to me, you know, to get out here. And it's not about UFC. It's not about, you know, Bellator. It's getting to a level that I'm competing with the top guys. If the top guys are somewhere else, great. If they're at the UFC, I want to be there. You know, I want to show people that you can do something even if you were hurt or anything. You know, if you have, you know, if you have the right mindset, if you have the right people and you're, you know, supporting you and you can do it, go for it. You have a dream, go for it. You know what I mean?
Hey, I actually, I do. We support and sponsor a young man named Sam Selander. He's a 135-pound fighter in Oregon. And last year he was on a nasty tear of fighters throughout the, you know, the Pacific Northwest. And he was driving home, was in a really nasty car wreck. They said he'd probably never walk again. He's making his return to the cage next month. And it was pure love, dedication, heart, and family support and friend support that got him there. So I understand if you have that drive in you and you have that belief and you have that support system, it's almost impossible to stop someone like that from coming back.
I totally agree, man. And, you know, best of luck to that guy. I don't know him, but that's so awesome, brother. You know, if you're listening out there, you know, keep driving, man. Keep striving. You know, you got this, bro.
You know, now, obviously, you know, you've been able to do pretty much a little bit of everything around this sport. Is there something that you still find, like, in just, man, I can't wait to get to the gym today and do, you know, this, or I can't wait to do some point sparring for fun, or I can't wait, you know, is there something that still lights such a fire under you and such a passion in you that it did from day one?
Yeah, man, you know what it is? It's at Rain Training Center, we have a group of guys that are always there, our team, you know, but we have different guys that come in. And I'm a competitor, number one. You know, I am a martial artist, but I'm a competitor. When you have new guys coming to the gym to spar, man, that just excites me, man. My students know, you know, I love to compete. I love to see where I'm actually at. And if I have someone come in at my weight class, at my gym, man, it just pumps me up. I don't go after them or anything like that. I want to see how good I am. You know, that's being a competitor. And that excites me more than anything. Going on Tuesdays and Fridays, our sparring days, and hey, let's see who's in the gym today, man. You never know. You never know who you get. And I get excited. If you're new, oh man, Santa Maria, the tsunami is gonna be like, let's do this. Let's have some fun, man.
Okay, Jonathan, you got your fight coming up. Let's know again what date, where they can get tickets.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna be fighting Explode Fight Series, March 22nd. Going to be Paradise Mountain Road in Valley Center. It's near San Diego. You can either contact me through Facebook, Instagram, anything like that. Man, I'll even shout out my number if you guys want it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, man. I mean, you just hit me up at 562-441-2808 if you want tickets. You know, I'm like the one-legged man, but not really, man. I have my leg. That's actually, honestly, my good leg. I love kicking with that leg. It's funny because I'm more accurate with that leg.
Hey, bro. Hey, what's wrong with the one-legged man, bro?
Hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong. That's what I'm saying. That's how we roll. But, you know, it's going to be a good fight. I actually have, like I said, I have a party bus taking my fans, my family, and everybody up. So, and I'm going to come back with them on the bus. You know, it's a big day for anyone who is Team Santa Maria fan. It's a big day for us to come back after 7 years. You know what I mean?
Nice. What about any training partners you want to shout out or sponsors?
Yeah, man, I wanna shout out to my sparring partners, Roger Shippen, number one. He's been looking out for me out there. Mike Segura. Mike Segura is an up-and-comer. He's going to be fighting that night as well. We got Arian Sharifi. He's one of my sparring partners. That guy, man, that guy can hit. That guy is probably 20 pounds bigger than me, and he pretends he's not because he wants me good, he says. So he beats the crap out of me. It's awesome. I love that guy. You know, but everybody at Rain Training Center, I want to shout out to those guys, you know, especially you know, particularly my karate coach who comes out on Saturdays, you know, on his own time. He's just, it's ridiculous, some of these guys that just, you know, they want to focus on getting you better. He doesn't actually take any money from me. He, you know, his name is Ryan Gonzalez, and he just, I just want to say thank you, Ryan, for coming out every Saturday for me, believing in me, and we're going to get this fight, man. We're going all out, you know. Some of my sponsors, you know, I want to, right now, particular, Eximius Productions. They're actually here right now doing this whole production on this show, on what we're doing right now, and they're going to be following me around for the year, helping me out. So thank you to you guys. They're really great. If you guys are looking for some video or becoming a fighter or something like that, hit up Eximius Productions. Also, I want to thank my sponsors all right now. Is that cool?
It's your time. Do whatever you want, brother.
All right, man. So I want to thank some of my sponsors right now. One of my sponsors has a new fantasy book coming out. It's called The Good, The Bad, and The Gold. It's going to be released on Amazon next month. But for now, you can read it for free at tonydurso.com. It's D-U-R-S-O-Durso.com. Check it out if you like good reading. Also, of course, to the kiddos, Kettle Corn. That guy needs to get some Kettle Corn girls, Ray, and we'll have Kettle Corn girls and some Kettle Corn.
That'd
be dope, man. Also to LSL Fitness in Signal Hill, trainer Leo San Lucas. This guy, he's the one who actually brought me back from my injury, helping to build my knee back up. Like I said, I don't feel like I have an injury anymore, and it's also helped to Leo San Lucas in Signal Hill, great trainer, boot camp trainer as well. Don Poncho's Tacos, you can't be Mexican without having a taco sponsor, so I love that, man. That's pretty cool.
That's badass.
And then, that's badass, man. I mean, after the fight, I want tacos. And, you know, let me – heck yeah, man. And then Drive Energy Drink, this is one of my biggest sponsors I just picked up. They're really cool. Drive Energy Drink, they're coming out all in L.A. They're mainly in Malaysia, Japan area, so thank you guys for helping me out. And some of the gyms that, you know, that I've been through that, I just want to shout out as well for putting time in. You have Santa Fe Springs Boxing Gym, Profit, Coach Danny. I'm there actually right now, so they're helping me for this camp. 10 Planet Jiu-Jitsu, Eddie Bravo, the Vault MMA, Wild Card Boxing, Cia Paulista Jiu-Jitsu. You know, if I missed anyone out there, I appreciate everything you have. Suarte Shirokan Karate, you know, thank you guys for everything, man.
Nice, nice. I want to thank you for coming on, Jonathan. We wish you good luck at your fight. I'll be seeing you around, especially when you come deliver me those kettle corn bags.
I told you, man, I'm going to get some kettle corn girls, dude. We'll be chilling out with kettle corn and kettle corn girls. I'm going to start selling this stuff, man.
Definitely, brother. Some good stuff. All right, well,
awesome,
so thanks for coming on, bro. We'll see you around. And, you know, next time we got a fight coming up, let us know. Or anything you want to talk about, you know, you got the number, call us up. You know, we'll get you on live. Even if you're not a guest, you want to talk to a guest we have, give us a call, bro.
Oh, hey, man, let me just throw out one more thing. You know what, I'm here, so I didn't really get to do it. Is that cool?
Yeah, what?
You know what, this is my sponsor. I'm hosting an event to promote myself and your show, man, because you guys are awesome. It's going around the world. But I'm here at the Vaporologist in Downey. You know, I got Joe over here. He's helping me out. We have DJ here. And he let me come over here, give out some tickets. We already gave out about 10 tickets over here. So thank you, Vaporologist. They're on my shorts. I'm going to be repping. And this fight's for all of us, baby. Let's get it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. We'll see you later, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. Take it easy.
All right. Next, we got Mal Valenzuela coming on. He's matchmaker extraordinaire. Mal is the man when it comes to SoCal MMA, amateur, pro. Now he's branching off into Combate Americas. I mean, all kinds of big things coming from this guy. Mal, what's up, bro?
Hey, Ray, how you doing? Good to be with you guys tonight.
Good, good, bro. We're happy to have you, bro. I mean, bro, you must be Jamaican or something, bro, having all these jobs.
Hey, you know, you know, you're not the first one to say that. You're actually not the first person to tell me that. But, you know, life is short, and you need to go after it. And that's what I'm doing now. You know, I do my regular job. I'm an investigator for L.A. County. I teach English at night, but my passion is matchmaking, definitely. And I find time, you know, I don't know where I find the time, but I get it done.
You know what? Yeah, I don't know where you find time, because every time I call you or text you, you get right back to me. It's like, wow, this dude's on it.
Business is business, Ray. You know that as well as I do. What sets me apart from other people is that I will return every text, every call at least once. If you're serious, if you want to do business with me, I'm going to call you back and we're going to get something done. You know, I'm not the type of person that ignores calls, ignores texts, because you never know. Hey, when I got this email from Combate Americas, what would it would have happened had I not answered it? You know,
definitely.
You just never know.
I mean, you know what?
So,
yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, everybody's heard that story about Hulk Hogan. You know, he missed the call when they went to him for the electric grill. So he missed the call.
Right.
So they went to George Foreman next, and it
George
became
Foreman.
Exactly. So, you know, Hogan would have answered the phone. It would have been the Hogan griller.
Now,
exactly. You see that, and he would have been a multimillionaire. But, you know, I believe in the same chance, you know, favors the prepared mind. And I think that I strive, you know, that is one of my goals. And another one of my goals is, or another one of my favorite sayings is, every dog has his day. But he doesn't get his day if he doesn't work for it. You got to work for those opportunities.
Now, let me ask you something. You know, we're going to talk about a lot because we've got a good 40 minutes with you for the show. And I want to talk about this new show. You know, I know it premiered tonight here, at least here it premiered tonight. And we've been sharing all the links for everyone, you know, around the world to be able to watch it on satellite and stuff. But give the fans around the world listening tonight, tell us, you know, in your own words, what this, you know, this reality mixed martial arts programming is about and what the end result should be.
Well, I'll give you a rundown. I mean, I did write some notes in preparation for my interview. I can tell you it's the first Hispanic-centric competition MMA reality show in the U.S. A lot of these, all the competitors are Latino. We got some Puerto Ricans, some Venezuelans, and some Mexicans in there, or Mexican-Americans. So what we did was we tried to include, you know, not only one part of Latin America, but as many fighters as we could going into Mexico, going into the Dominican Republic and places like that. You know, the show is going to consist of 10 one-hour shows that premiere on the West Coast at 10 o'clock. Unless you have the East Coast feed, then you already saw the show. But it premieres tonight at 10 on Mundos here in the Southern California area. And here's the kicker. This franchise was launched by the UFC creator, and by all intents and purposes, the creator of mixed martial arts, Campbell McLaurin. He is the founder of this franchise. He is the mastermind behind it. Him and a gentleman by the name of Mike Fromowitz, who was part of the group that founded Strikeforce. So, I mean, these guys are the battery that run this. They are so great to work with, and they have an open mind, and they believe that the Latino market is just waiting to be tapped into. And as you guys know, in the recent past, if you're Latino, if you live in L.A., you know, you go box. You don't do MMA. You're boxing. You know, it's funny. Your guest mentioned Cheddar. Cheddar's actually fought for me. He did his pro debut on Fight Club OC, and he's a prime example of the athlete that's going from boxing, training at Maywood Gym with Mambo Huerta, coming over to Black House and training with those guys, and you have a you know, new breed mixed martial artist with a boxing background. So he's one of those guys that's actually come across, you know. Again, it's the first competition reality series on Mundos. And the way it works is that these guys go through some of you already know, some type of agility and physical challenges, which culminates in a fight between the top two welterweights and the top two featherweights. At the you know, 10 weeks down the line, and the winner gets the winners get a prize, and they also get a contract with Combate Americas, which we expect to go into its own fighting league eventually, is the expectation. So what we want to do is corner a whole new audience, the Latino market, and I think that's the goal. And from that point on, you know, maybe have something else to challenge UFC and Bellator, because there's definitely room for other promotions out there. And I think this one, because of the backing, because of Mundos, because of Campbell McLaurin and Michael Fromowitz, I think it definitely has the credibility to do so.
I'll agree with that 100%. It's doing what we do at MMA Madhouse. You know, we've dealt with promotions and TV companies around the world. And something
correct.
That I've noticed, especially like with, Cambodia MMA, the national television program, TV television stations came in and said, look, we're going to sponsor this. We're going to support this. And it blew up in a country that is traditionally Thai fighting. Okay.
Correct.
Once again, you go into the Latin community, it's traditionally a boxing when it comes to combat sports. You know, and absolutely, for you to be successful, you're going to have to and have something like this programming behind you. Because if you guys were to try to do this and maybe throw it on, you know, a late night access television channel, it probably wouldn't take off because a lot of people would feel like you're making a joke and not supporting the heritage. You know, they'd be like, oh, they're just doing this because it's a quick buck and they're going to use, you know, Mexicans to make a dollar. But with you going there and them supporting you on this, it shows to me as a fan from the outside, as well as media, that obviously there's pride now in the combat sports world for mixed martial arts in the Latino community. And this is a way to show it, and I love it.
Absolutely. I mean, Mundos and Bunham Murray, which is a production company who goes back 25 years into the reality, you know, show business. I mean, I was at the studio yesterday. It is like a family. I mean, these people are so dedicated and want this show so much to work that it's unbelievable. I mean, they've, you know, drive by the Commerce Casino, you have Combate, by the Commerce Citadel, you know, those electronic billboards off the 5 freeway that get thousands of views daily. You've got Combate Americas. You have billboards all over L.A. You have us on, you know, in Times Square, in Chicago, in Texas. I think they had cheerleaders out today at the Staples Center. I mean, it's ridiculous the support that we're getting, you know, on this venture. And as you said, it's no joke. And we're getting the backing of Mundos and all their companies. And you know, we were out in Vegas for a press conference a couple weeks ago. And just to see that not only, you know, the business world, but there's also, you know, people like Daddy Yankee, you know, who's a Puerto Rican singer, and Chino and Nacho, who's a couple of other singers from Venezuela. I mean, everyone is behind it because MMA is blowing up all over Latin America, not just you know, U.S. or the Far East. I mean, Latin America is really catching that fever, and if you go down to Tijuana these days, you're going to see MMA gyms popping up everywhere. As many boxing as you see now, you see MMA gyms. So it's a fever that's definitely, you know, infiltrated in south of the border. And now you have, you know, the Islanders, the Cubans and Dominicans and Puerto Ricans into it, and the Mexicans. And, you know, so we hope that this will, you know, just take it that much further, take it to the next level as far as MMA in Latin America. And now, you know, delve into a whole new market.
Now, with all these Latinos getting into it, what do you think the role that Cain Velasquez played in that?
Well, I mean, let's call a spade. Cain is the first heavyweight Latino, Mexican-American, Mexican, whatever you want to call him, heavyweight champion, you know, in boxing or combat sports. You know, he is literally the baddest man on the planet. And he represents, you know, his heritage well, as did Tito Ortiz, as do some of the other guys in the UFC and in other promotions. And I think that someone like him is an anchor showing us that, hey, man, you know, Cain's dad worked in the fields in Central California, yet Cain was able to wrestle in college, D1, you know, he was a star wrestler, and now he's the baddest man on the planet. So, you know, it just gives us hope. You know, and some of these kids that you're going to see on the Combate America show, they come from nothing. I mean, just last night, you know, you'll see one of the stars of the show, one of the cast members, Oscar Valdez. He is a Mexican-American kid that is from Arkansas. And you did hear me right, from Arkansas. He lives
Wow.
in Statesville. He has a southern accent. So this kid, you know, I pick him up at the studio last night, and he says, Mel, he says, you know, can you please take me shopping? We're going out tonight, and they're in Hollywood, and, you know, he's a kid. He just turned 21. And he was amazed at Macy's and stuff. You know, I'm like, geez, you know, they just don't have that lifestyle. And hopefully this, you know, like boxing has done for many years, now MMA is another avenue to pull these kids from poverty and bring them to you know, to shine. And a lot of these kids, if it wasn't for Combate America, you know, they'd just be doing, you know, flipping hamburgers and training after work. And now they're living, as we say, living the vida loca, you know, on TV. They're stars now, you know, and they've been dealt some cards, and now it's up to them to see what they do with it. But, you know, I'm happy that we're able to give them the opportunity to be able to do something with their lives you know, whether it's MMA or whatever else they branch out to. So to get back to your question, I think Cain Velasquez is a huge, huge star and a huge, you know, a role model for Latino fighters just based on where he came from and his dad. I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen his dad. His dad's so humble. He looks like my little Nacho. You know,
oh, yeah.
He looks like a whatever. You know?
He's still picking the strawberries and the grapes, you know. And,
exactly.
And Cain's never lost sight of what his parents did for him to get him to where he's at.
Exactly. And you know, with us Latinos, I mean, let's face it. We're fighters. It's in our blood, man. We're warriors. You know, whether it be on the streets or in the cage or in the ring. And I think that this is just another avenue for us to you know, to develop our talents and take it to the next level. So,
you know,
again, opening new doors, man, that's what we're all about.
You know, talking about, you know, the spirit of the Latino fighter, a couple of years ago I was at a King of the Cage fight, and Ruben Duran was fighting. For three rounds, he was getting his butt kicked. He comes to 4 minutes and 50 seconds left in the third round. He knocks the dude out. He was losing on everybody's card. I mean, it was going to be a unanimous decision that he was going to lose. And he knocks the dude out with 5 seconds left in the fight. And they go to interview him. And what does he say? He says, yeah, I know. The commentator says, yeah, you were losing the fight. What was going through your mind? He says, yeah, I know I was losing the fight. But don't ever doubt the heart of a Mexican. Oh, man, that place went bonkers.
Absolutely. I mean, that is, you know, that is our heritage. And I think that, you know, we get that from, you know, maybe we didn't struggle as hard as our parents did or our grandparents, but we're definitely, you know, we definitely have it in our blood not to give up. And how many pro boxing events have you been to or seen on television where the fight looks like it's done and out of nowhere you dig deep, you know, and you get it done. And you know, again, that's the whole spirit of you know, the Latino fighter. And when I mean Latino, I don't only mean Mexican. I mean, you know, how many great Puerto Rican Mexican battles in boxing have you seen out there? You know, going way back, you know, to Pipino Cuevas and all those guys from back in the day, you know, Macho Camacho, how many wars did we see? And you know, I would love to see that rivalry develop in MMA. You know, let's get Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, or Mexicans, you know, whatever. Again, there's so many possibilities out there, so much room for growth that it's exciting. You know, it's exciting to be part of it because you just never know where this is going to go. You know, and it's really exciting. I mean, as we're talking, I'm getting texts and messages saying, great show as far as, you know, Combate. And we're hoping that it does blow up and become something huge. And you know, again, for me, it's giving kids a platform, you know, giving them a platform to be able to succeed in life, you know, and whether it be MMA or anything, you know, you never know what can come out of this show and what talent you can develop.
Now, I want to ask you two questions. First one would be, with what I've seen in their culture and the way they support their sports, especially companies, will we see you guys bringing in maybe some Latin-flavored companies as sponsorships to try to open, you know, American eyes to what these guys are supporting as well?
I think that this being the first season, you know, it's really kind of a feeler. You know, let's see what this show does. I think that the goal, though, is to just go into every Latin American market and bring in these sponsors, bring in anything from down there that'll make the show better. You know, it's not about, you know, how can I explain this? It's about what we can do to make the show better, to better the sport. You know, the sport being mixed martial arts. It's beyond Combate America. You know, again, that's just a platform, a forum. You know, we're trying to grow the sport. And, of course, there's so many people that hopefully after the first few shows, they want to jump on board. I'm sure the bosses will be open to anything that comes through, you know, regarding sponsorships or companies or whatnot, for sure. You know, the goal is growth.
Well, and that's why I bring it up, because, you know, whether it's soccer, boxing, even over on the islands, you know, in the Caribbean with wrestling becoming more and more prevalent, you're seeing more companies step up to sponsor these sports, you know, and with what I've seen in the way, especially sponsorships in soccer in Latin America, they really throw a lot of money at the programs that help support. So I'm hoping to see the same thing as you guys get down, maybe one or two companies who do the same with soccer, to where they're like, look, let's give money not just to Combate Americas, but also to some local gyms, some gear. And that's what I'm hoping to see with this, not just the fan base, but the companies support it like they do maybe soccer down in Central America and South America and Latin America.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we see all those, you know, all that advertising on soccer players' jerseys and shorts, and that's what's allowed to, you know, the sport to grow, not only in Latin America, but in Europe. You know, it's acceptable to advertise on the uniforms, and that makes it better for the athletes because, you know, as you said, they get better paid, and they're definitely, you know, compensated for their agony, so to speak, you know.
And my second question is actually coming from a fan. So they're curious how you plan on dealing with the backlash that you're not supporting American fighters. And I understand the question. Obviously, somebody's trying to play the devil's advocate here for you, but I think it's kind of a stupid question to the fan, but I guess it's something you're going to maybe have to address.
Right. Well, you know, I disagree with, or I'm not sure where that question is coming from, because most of these guys are American citizens. So when they ask, what, you know, Ricky Palacios, Oscar Valdez, they're all born in this country. You know, I mean, what makes them different is that they speak Spanish and it's a Spanish TV show. You know, so we're not, you know, we're not, again, we're not, it's a Spanish TV show. Now, I mean, we're obviously going to cater to Spanish-speaking athletes. And again, most of them are American, so, you know.
Well, here on the show, we don't say no to questions unless they're like blatantly just stupid or racist or threatening, but you know, this is Ray's second show, so we're starting to try to bring the fans in more and more with phone calls and texts and questions. But you know, I see your point. Look, right now, whether it's Zuffa, whether it's Maximum Fighting Championships, whether it's EFC Africa, today's sport, folks, is no longer racially bounded. You guys got to get over that. You guys got to realize that that's just not what's going on. Look, I see Muslims fight with Jewish fighters in Egypt to be on EFC Africa, EFC Egypt's card. Or same thing down in South Africa. We have, you know, Germans who are Catholics that are training with guys from Brazil that, you know, maybe don't even have religion. Look, folks, this race, religion, it just doesn't exist in the sport. At this point, it's not a viable issue. You know, so don't look at this show. Don't look at what they're doing as an American product or a Mexican-American product or a Latino product. This is a sports league that they're building to better athletes in mixed martial arts, period. Because they come with a descent or an accent, shouldn't make shit.
Exactly. We're just creating an opportunity. An opportunity, and as I said, if this, you know, league takes off, then we don't know where it's going to go. You know, we don't know where it's going to go. So, you know, it's all about getting through this first season and see where we are. And, you know, I can't predict the future. But we're hoping it takes off and it gives the kids another avenue.
And a big shout-out to the fans in the Midwest of Oscars. You guys will be able to catch him on TV. So we got some fans chiming in on some local events he fought down there. So he's got fan base.
Yes. He's got a big fan base in Arkansas. And let me tell you something. He is a great kid. That you guys have a diamond in the rough down there. He's so humble and such a hard worker. I mean, this kid was literally working on the line in a factory in Arkansas, you know, well, I don't know if I should say it, but, you know, in a chicken slaughterhouse, I guess, or whatever you call it. I mean, this kid is rough. He's had a hard life, right? And that's what MMA is. MMA is a sport of the people. It's a blue-collar sport where you know, you fight your way in and you know, you fight, get your butt kicked on, in sparring and in training every day, and you know, and you roll the dice when you get out there and fight on Friday or Thursday night or whatever the day, you know, may be. And Oscar exemplifies that. He just tough, rough and tough. And so do the other guys. I just know Oscar's story because, we help him get on the show. So, you know, yeah, you guys got a great kid in the Midwest in Arkansas, and Oscar Valdez.
Perfect, bro. I can't wait for the show to come on. You know, switching gears here, you know, you matchmake for some other organizations. You know, Sparstar, you guys got Sparstar. You got a big fight coming up soon. Tell us a little bit about
We have a big show coming up on March 7th. And as usual, I mean, we don't just put fights together. We look at these kids and we say, man, would this be a good fight? Because you know what? It's not about me. It's not about Tony. It's about the fans and the kids. You know, these kids, it's unbelievable how many kids, if not most, say, Mel, I'm here to give the people a show. And they realize that they're out there. They're modern-day gladiators, you know, and they know it. And they're there to provide, you know, entertainment. And I love that these kids know what they're doing, and we try to put the best possible matches together to keep it exciting. And if you look at our track record at Sparstar, you know, most of our fights, man, they go the distance, and they're not boring. You know, and that's not just putting fights together. It's doing a little bit of homework and not, you know, we don't have any house fighters. We don't have Tony and I don't own a gym. We don't have house fighters. We are equal. And I think that's what makes us, you know, have, you know, the best fights out there. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I think that pound for pound, we have the most competitive bouts on our show.
I mean, definitely. I mean, I love for my guys to fight on Sparstar. We always got a lot of love from you, Tony, you know, from the whole Sparstar family, you know, Marvin, you know, everybody. Just, yeah. You know,
right. You just hit a key word. We're a family. And you know this, right? I mean, we go out there and we sit and I watch the fights because I am a fan. I go from that, when that the bell rings for that first bout, I become a fan. And I have a seat, and you see me drink a beer, too, and I am enjoying the fight, you know, with everyone else. And I'm a fan as much as you are, as much as anybody else is. And I think that, you know, leads to success because, you know, I know what I want to see, and I'm thinking, Ray, that's what you want to see. You know?
Definitely.
And I think that's what led to succeed.
No, my dad, you know, he's a big boxing fan. His first MMA fight that he actually saw live in person was a Sparstar fight, and he loved it. You know,
awesome.
The fights you guys put on, I mean, they could be main events anywhere. They're all well-matched, you know, and just the whole vibe, you know, that party atmosphere, it's, you know, it's also kid-friendly. You can bring the whole family out. I mean, it's a great show.
Exactly.
You know, I love Sparstar. Even when I don't have a fighter fighting or I don't have a booth for my clothing line, I like to go just to go.
Yes, yes, and I see you there. And again, it's a good time. It's a, you know, it's not, you know, uptight. It's a great atmosphere. You go, you have a couple drinks. You know, they have hot dogs there and whatnot, and you just have a good time and decompress. And we realize that's what people want to see, and they want to follow their, you know, whether it be their nephew or their kid or their friend, and we're about a good time, and nothing more serious than that. And everyone we consider, and you know this, right, everyone is a family, is part of the family. And that's how we look at it, and that's why I think we've succeeded, you know, these last few years.
So who are you guys featuring on this next card coming up? You know, where is it at?
It's at the Hollywood Park Casino up on the second floor, March 7th. Tickets still available at sparstarpromotions.com. We only have a handful of VIPs. We have some general admission tickets. Now, I am so excited because I have two fights that I made that I am so psyched about. One being Janelle Kimbrough, who, I mean, this kid just fights his heart out every time he goes out there, fighting another kid named Julian Waterbury. I mean, these kids, I had these kids on our Tito Ortiz show at the Hangar a couple years ago. Our future stars that we did in collaboration with Tito, and one of the kids got hurt. I think Janelle got a cut sparring or something, and the fight fell through. So I was able to put it back together 2 years later. And with all the other stuff I got going on, this fight has been in the back of my mind for 2 years, even at the amateur level. That's how much I love doing what I do. And we have it. We got it as a co-main. And then we have Tatiana Padilla fighting on the card against Jessica Pryor. 1-0 against a 2-0 gal, and Tatiana is like a world-class wrestler. And Jessica's Jessica. She's a great striker, all-around fighter. So those are two fights that are worth the price of admission alone. But we're supporting that with another 10, 12 fights underneath that. Nice. So we're looking forward to our show.
Will we see females on the television series maybe next year or the next season or however that's going to work out?
Let's just say, without saying too much, that we are open to everything.
Right on.
And that is something we're looking at. And that's hot now. And we're definitely trying to cover that market as well. But let me just tell you about the other person I work for, because I'd be remiss if I didn't mention him, Roy Engelbrecht. Now, you as well as I know that Roy Engelbrecht has been a Southern California promoter for about 26, 27 years. He's OG. He is the person that sold Golden Boy Promotions to Oscar De La Hoya. Roy founded Golden Boy, sold it to them, was able to keep his part of the boxing business. About 5 years ago, he ventured into professional mixed martial arts, and now we have our hybrid shows. Our next hybrid show is April 17th in The Hangar. Now, I'm not sure if you guys have been to The Hangar at the Orange County Fairgrounds, but it is such a great place, and I will tell you now, it is a jewel. I'm not talking about Southern California, but in the whole country of club-level shows. I mean, this place is like a mini Staples Center, 40-foot HD screen. We have luxury boxes. I mean, this place is it in Southern California club-level combat sports. And, I mean, like I said, Roy gave me my opportunity about 5 years ago. I actually went in there because I wanted to be his boxing matchmaker. And he says, hey, I already have a boxing matchmaker, but I don't have an MMA matchmaker. Are you interested in? And the rest is history.
it's a great show.
It is off. But
we fought for Roy a couple times already, and I mean, that show
Isaac,
is just
right.
It's very professional. And well, Isaac, and then before that, about 2 years before that, we had a Demon Morris fight when he did the M1 Global.
That's right. We did. I put in against Shawn Michaels. Demon Morris.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of my M1 undercards that I put together for M1, right? Yeah, I remember Demon, so you know it well.
Yeah, I'm a great show. Go ahead,
I'm just going to give you who I have on that show, just to show you the caliber. Now, remember, it's a hybrid show. We usually do 4 boxing, 2 MMA, or 3-3, or whatever the case may be, but we have 2 great fights. We have Curtis Melander, who's 4-0, out of San Bernardino and trains at UFC Fullerton, going against 5-1 Aaron Beach out of Alliance. If you remember, if that name sounds familiar to you, he was in the Ultimate Fighter about a year ago, I think. And I think he actually lost and got out, but he has that fame. We have Huntington Beach superstar Joe Murphy, who's a World Series of Fighting veteran, 6-1. Going against Victor Henry, who is trained by Josh Barnett, and is 6-0. So these two bouts, we have a combined record of 21-2. I mean, and again, these are matches that, you were going to see some stand-up in the first bout. We're probably going to see some grappling in the second bout. But again, we put it together so the fans will enjoy it. And I'm so psyched about not only the Splash Star card, but the Fight Club OC card as well.
And let's be honest. Go ahead, Ray.
Go ahead, Skippy.
I was going to say, let's be honest, a good high-level grappling match with strikes thrown in there could be just as good as a stand-up war toe-to-toe. For fans like us three, for sure. Obviously you have the Zuffa Zombies who are going to scream stand them up. But for us and the fans listening that really get into the sport the way we do, that technical chest battle on the ground with strikes thrown in is almost a work of art when it's done right.
Oh, yeah, and let me tell you, Victor Henry and Joe Murphy are masters. on the ground. I mean, these guys, I am in awe, especially Joe Murphy. When I see him, you know, roll, you know, he trains with Kleber. I mean, this kid is amazing. And it's just a matter of time, I feel, that he gets picked up by the UFC. And now Victor Henry, he's right there too. And we know, he's got a coach with one foot in, which is Josh Barnett. So, you know, we're happy to say that we've gotten about, in my 3 years with Roy, we've gotten about, I want to say, 6-7 kids into the UFC. So we like to, you know, we're that springboard, and that's what we want to be. And that's what, you know, I think that SparStar is a springboard into the pros, you know, where I can match someone on SparStar, and if they have promise, someone like Isaac, you know, bounce them into the pros. I can turn them pro, and hopefully with Combate, you know, move them up to that next level eventually. So, you know, it's all kind of lining up. It's just a matter of it all coming together for us.
Oh, I mean, that's right. I mean, you know, that fight you got for Isaac against Fabian, they're both SparStar veterans. You know, so you were able to see what they did at that level, and you put together, it was a great fight.
Right,
know?
Right.
So it was a lot of fun.
SparStar's like the minor leagues, man, and that's what we want to be. We want to be that springboard.
And they both said they can't wait to do it again against each other.
Yeah, well, you know, we might see that again someday soon. You never know. You know, you just never know. It's crazy the way things work out sometimes and the way things fall into place. And hopefully we will be able to make that fight again down the line. And it'd be a great fight, just as the first one was.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And coming through SparStar, you know, who are some of the big names you see coming out of SparStar that are going to make waves as pros?
Wow, there's so many kids. So many kids that have come out or that are there. I want to say Jacob Rosales, who is 4-0, okay? He trains at CSW with Ben Jones is his trainer. That kid is a 45er who is an absolute animal. I mean, he is 18 years old, and he is a beast. So look out for him. We have another kid who's fought for us a couple times. He's out of Apple Valley, Dominic Reyes. Who wrestled, I believe, in college, and he is 2-0, you know, and he's a 205er, and we know how tough it is to get 205ers in fights. But
oh yeah,
you know, I think didn't he fight one of your guys, Ray?
Oh yeah, and he destroyed my guy. And
right,
was
so
awesome.
you know Dominic.
And you know, after he comes up to us and wants to, you know, hang out, great guy.
Yeah, no, he's a great kid, and then that whole camp. I mean, it's Cage Combat in Apple Valley. Those guys bring it. They bring their fans, and you know, we try to book a couple of their fighters, so, you know, it's worth their drive. But they are awesome. I mean, this is what people we like to deal with. They don't ask us for money for gas. They don't ask us for help. You know, they come out here because they want to fight. They want to do stuff. You know, and obviously we take care of them on our end, but they never ask for it. And those are the camps that we love working because – you know, as your other guest said, you know, MMA is grassroots, man. It's for the love of the sport, not for anything else. You know,
oh, yeah.
It's not to be. I'm going to give you a perfect example. Adrian Broner in boxing, guy who combs his hair in the ring and screws around and talks a lot of smack. What happened to him against Marcos Maidana? You know, that's an example to these kids of what not to be like.
I love the part where he got beat so bad that when he's leaving the ring, all he says, I want to go home.
Exactly. And so, you see, we don't, you know, I think that these kids respect MMA more. It's a lifestyle. It's a, you know, it's a way of life. It's nutrition. It's exercise. It's training. And that's where it's a little bit different in boxing. Boxers have a little more fame as partiers. You know, as guys that go out and gain 30, 40, 50 pounds. And then drop. I mean, we all saw Raging Bull. You remember how Jake LaMotta used to blow up, and that was back in the day.
And no disrespect to boxing. I have a cousin who's a boxing promoter and a boxing manager. You know, if there was no boxing, there would be no MMA. So let's give credit where credit is due.
Absolutely.
But you definitely see a different class of fighter with MMA. You know, a boxer, you can be a street thug and become a boxer, you know, through training. But in MMA, you have to be belted in multiple disciplines. Yeah, you might be tatted up, you might look like a street thug, but you're not. You've been doing karate since you were 12, doing judo since you were 5, wrestling since high school. So this is something that you've invested a lot of time in, you know, not just something that you decided to do on a whim.
And that's where the respect for the sport comes, because you've invested so much time into your training that shows in the way you respect your opponent, you know, and everything else. And that's why sometimes Ronda Rousey just irks me, because she kind of seems to me, you know, like those boxers, you know, that kind of, you know, don't show the respect that maybe sometimes they should. You know, but that's just my opinion.
And, you know that's something that the show really brought out. And, you know, Ronda coming up, you know, she's very humble. And now that she's in the UFC, she's got that attitude that, you know, I'm the baddest on the planet. And, yeah, you do need to have that attitude, but you still need to stay a little humble, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We all, you know, look what happened to Adrian Broner. He thought he was, you know, the next Floyd Mayweather. That, you know, hey.
Okay, Mal.
Sparks
are coming up. Other than getting in contact with me for tickets, where else can they get tickets?
Well, they can go to sparkstarpromotions.com to get their tickets there. And for the Fight Club OC August 17th show, you can go into fightclubOC.com and get your tickets there. Those will go on sale March 1st for that show. And, you know, if you don't mind, I'd like to give a couple of people thanks that have really helped me along
in
my matchmaking career. You know, I just really want to thank two professional matchmakers, and ironically, they're boxing matchmakers. One is Whit Hayden, who's the boxing matchmaker for Roy, and Robert Diaz, who's the matchmaker at Golden Boy. And what I love about these two guys, especially Robert, you know that Golden Boy has shows all over the world every weekend. Robert Diaz always takes my call. When I call him, you know, I ask him, hey, what do you think about this? And you know, matchmaking, just because it's boxing MMA, a lot of the stuff transfers over. And you know, he's always there for me to listen. Another gentleman who's always there for me is Mondo Gaitan, who's the vice president of Golden Boy Promotions. And, I mean, these guys are always there to listen. And I try to be that for guys that call me, because I've learned from the best. And, you know, there's no problem sharing, you know, experiences and things with other, you know, matchmakers or people in the business, because we're a small community. You know, we're a very small community, and we should do, again, think beyond ourselves and think of the growth of the sport. And, you know, that's what we all want. And then, obviously, Tony Padilla, who's like my little brother, man. That guy, you know, we work so well together. And then, you know, Roy Engelbrecht, who, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. So those are just people that I definitely wanted to call, that shout out, now that I'm giving and wait, two more. Michael Fromowitz and Campbell McLaurin of Combate, two other people that have faith in me and have given me this wonderful opportunity to go from the local level to the national, you know, if not world level of MMA, and hopefully we'll get there soon.
Definitely. You know, we'll all be watching the show another hour from now on Mundo.
Hey, Mel. I sent you a message on Facebook. It's just a quick rundown about what my company's about. On there are some email addresses. Whatever organization you're working with, please put us on the press release list. Look, you'll see on our website, there's not one Zuffa. We support local MMA from around the world, whether it's the Philippines,
sure,
whether it's Canada. So I'd love to, you know, you to add us to all your press release lists so that we can help promote your events and you know,
yes,
and Combate and all that we can help put out the press releases for fans. So please, any press releases you got, results, fight events coming up, interviews,
let's
we're down.
Here.
Yes, please.
Perfect. And you're back east?
Actually, we're located in five countries. We have 32 members. We have five podcasts and 3 AM radio stations.
And where are you, though? Where are you physically located?
I'm physically in Oregon right now. This is where the U.S. office is in Oregon. My president and international office is in outside Kamloops, Canada.
You know,
and then
I'm just saying that if you're ever in Southern California, you know, it's either Sparstar or Fight Club OC. You are, just give me a call, and Ray can give you my telephone number. You're always welcome to see where we are, because, you know, something that Heather mentioned when you interviewed her, we absolutely have the best mixed martial artists in Southern California. I mean, we just churn them out, and I am absolutely in awe of how good these guys are. Not putting any other parts of the country down or saying, you know, anything, but we definitely have the best athletes. And I think our shows, even at the Sparstar level, show that, because we have superior training. and people that take the sport seriously and people that respect the sport and respect their bodies and are out there to perform.
Well, we've slowly as a company in the last, since 2007, have gone from, you know, two guys to 17 states, five countries, and Ray is our first venture, truly our first solid venture into California, especially SoCal MMA, and he's kind of going to be leading this whole push for our company down there. So you're going to start to see us. We're going to work on getting some guys in the region to cover events live and do photos and all that to help promote the event.
Oh,
so,
dude, just let me know. Let me know. I'm sure that Heather or any of the other, you know, persons down here and now Ray is the man. So you've definitely chosen the right person because he is very involved in the MMA, you know, world in Southern California, and you've definitely chosen the right person to spearhead your efforts in Southern California. So congratulations.
Thank you for that,
Matt.
Thank you.
Yeah, and congratulations to your show. I mean, you guys are all over the place, and thank you for giving us the platform and the forum to speak, because if it wasn't for you, I mean, you know, who else? We don't really have anything like this, so congratulations on the show as well, and thank you very much for having me.
We got to get you out here, Skippy, so you can go on one of our 3 or 4 day world tours out here in Southern California, where we just jump in the car with Tony Padilla and we don't know where it's going to lead us. Go to this fight, that fight, this fight. We might end up in Vegas. We might end up somewhere else in TJ, but it's a fun time, a lot of good fights, and a lot of memories you won't remember.
Well, I'm going to take you up on that. I'm going to take you up on that this summer once all the snow clears and I can drive down there without a hassle. You know, I would love to come and actually meet Ray face-to-face as well as you, Mel, and hang out with you guys. And because, you know, I've been blessed to watch MMA all over the world, and I'd love to come and actually sit ringside and watch some fights with your fighters and your promotions and help support it by being there. But, you know, to see the product you're producing.
Absolutely. You have a seat at our shows anytime, man. That's guaranteed.
And I'm willing to bet, and I'll say this, I know Ray will probably agree, but this show is going to be an open platform for you and all your fighters down the road. You know, when they got fights coming up, this show is going to be about promoting regional, local, supporting local. Look, all these guys, when they get big, the ones who choose to go big, they're going to get enough Bellator interviews, Zuffa interviews, so on and so forth. But somebody's got to show them love and respect and help get them there through the media aspect, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, definitely.
Absolutely, and we wholeheartedly appreciate that, you and Ray, for doing that. And trust me, you might have to double to 4 hours sooner than later, because we have tons of people here who are ready to fight and ready to talk about their experiences, man. And that's the beauty of MMA, you know, in combat sports. We have different, you know, experiences.
You know, next week we got Vanessa on the show. You know, she's the main ringer for Sparsha. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, awesome. You see that? You're getting all the perspective. You're getting the promoter, the matchmaker, the ring card girls. You know, next you got to get the money takers, the ticket takers out there, man. They're where the rubber meets the road.
Definitely.
Oh,
all right.
Well, Mel, you know, we've got about 2 minutes left of live air, and we've got to have some time to pay our sponsors and pay some bills. But any last shout-outs you want to give, please feel free.
You know what? Again, I want to thank you, both of you gentlemen for doing this for not only myself. Again, it's bigger than me. It's MMA. It's a platform for all our athletes. And you know, as I said, mentioned all those people before, you know, thanks. I want to, you know, thank my wife and my kids for putting up, you know, sometimes I'm gone Friday night, Saturday night. I'm at the fights. I'm watching fights. I'm taking notes. I remember taking my son out to shows and taking my book and taking down notes, and I appreciate them backing me 100% in this venture.
All right, Mal, thanks for coming on. You know, we'll be seeing you in a couple of weeks at Spar Star, and, you know,
all right,
probably
we'll
have you on
then.
Again.
Thank you,
know,
guys.
You know, when you got something else coming up, and, you know, we're going to watch the show tonight.
All right, awesome. Thank you very much. Very appreciative. All right.
Have a good night, brother.
All right, good night, guys. Bye-bye.
Ray,
man,
great show. Oh, man, great show, great guest. Thank you to all the wonderful guests tonight. I know folks listening right now live, this is going to cut off any second, but everything we say after this point will be on the replay. Ray, you got anything you want to throw out there? Go for it.
Definitely. Thank you, Skippy. Thank you, Mal. Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Jonathan. Next week, we got King of the Cage champion in two different weights, Josh Aveles. We got Ring Card Girl and Miss Mexico from Sparstar MMA, Vanessa Navarro. And we got the matchmaker for King of the Cage. Oh, wow, I'm drawing a blank. Mike Lowe. There you go. I'm sorry, Mike. I talk to him almost every day. All right, Mike. Yeah, we're going to have you on the show. So, you know, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Remember, don't drink and drive.
And you guys know how Skippy ends every show with a big scream out to the Eagle. Thank you to all our great sponsors, especially Persist Headwear. You guys find them on Facebook. Look soon for some giveaways coming. Eagle.
MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hype Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.tv, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.